Let's have a reading and you'll see what I was talking about, where Paul encourages us to be strong, to be on the Lord's side, and to equip ourselves with all the great provisions that God has made for us. So it's Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10, down to the end of the chapter, which concludes the letter in verse number 24. So I'll read this one. Finally, this is his last paragraph. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that we may encourage you and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. Have said, you can think of Paul standing and looking at their soldiers, and he uses the idea of soldiers several times in his letters. For example, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Okay? You know, be tough. You know, it's not always going to be easy. It's not all going to be a bed of roses as a Christian. There's no guarantees, but endure it. It's coming your way. He also says, learn from the soldiers' discipline. These guys are trained to march. You know, they're trained to fight. They're disciplined. They're focused. And he says in other places in your Christian lives, be focused like this. And of course, they're loyal. They're loyal to the Republic of Rome and to their commanders and so on. And we're to be loyal to the Lord and to live the sort of lives that's pleasing to him. And now he's going to use the illustrations of the soldier's armory for the provisions that God has made for us. And it seems a good thing to do because, as he says in the verses that we read together, and as we've already touched on, we're in a battle, we're in a war. There's God on one side and there's Satan on the other. And if we're on the Lord's side, we're in this battle, we're in this war as well. Now, usually wars start with an aggressor, don't they? In the Second World War, it was very clear who was the aggressor. It was the Nazi Germany. It was Hitler and his crew who started it. And in this spiritual war, this war between good and evil, it's clearly Satan who has started it. He's the one who's out to rebel against God, and in his rebellion to frustrate and to oppose and to do what he can to destroy the works of God. As Christians, we're on the Lord's side, and therefore we too, if you like, may be subject to attack. But as I've got here, let's have some tactical training this morning. Who is our enemy? Know your enemy is one of the key strategic issues in any war. And we see this today, don't we? The authorities are using spy satellites, they're using electronic eavesdropping, they're listening into mobile phone calls because they want to know who the enemy is. When you know who they are, you can begin to deal with them. And so what I want to do this morning is just to spend a few minutes looking at who is our enemy. This Satan that is against God and therefore against us. Now, we don't often talk about Satan. We've got better things to talk about. But we do need to talk about him sometimes so that we know what his strategies are And in knowing what his strategies are to destroy our Christian lives, then we can stand against them. So I want to spend just a few minutes speaking a little bit about Satan. First of all, his existence. There is such a person, and that's clear throughout the Bible. The Bible tells us that Satan is a created being, an angel, if you like, who rebelled against God, but he was cast out of heaven. And ever since that time, he's been in rebellion against God and his purposes. Now, we need to remember, Satan is powerful, but he's not almighty like God. Satan is on earth, but he's not present everywhere as God is. Satan knows a lot, but he's not all-knowing. He's not God. If God is good, Satan is evil. The Lord Jesus spoke of him as a real person, a real one who really exists. And often we see, you know, the devil portrayed in sort of caricature, don't we, with horns and a tail and a fork in his hand and this sort of thing. Let's not get caught up in that idea, or he's some sort of mythical being, as it were. The Bible is very clear. He's real. He's there. And we have to face him. What's his place of operations? You know, where is he operating? Well, we've already had in Ephesians 2 that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's also called in other places the prince of this world and even the god of this world. So the earth seems to be his special place of activity. And it even says in another place that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, we take that in general terms because he's not in control of us if we are the Lord's people. All right? He's not in control of the church. But generally speaking, you know, it's not the majority of the Christians, is it? We're a minority and an increasing minority in our country. And the issue is, whose side are we on? There's only two. You know, there's no sitting in the middle as a non-combatant, if you like. We're on one side or the other. And I trust that this morning we're all on the side of the Lord. What's his methods then? Well, the NIV in verse 11 spoke about the devil's schemes, didn't it? The devil's schemes. The Authorized Version talks about the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. He's wily. He's crafty. He's not stupid. Okay? We don't underestimate him. We see this in the Garden of Eden, don't we? When he came in the form of a serpent and tempted Adam and Eve. And he did it by casting doubts on God and his word and God's intentions for them. We see the devil at work in the temptation of the Lord Jesus. Very subtle, very carefully thought out. We must be careful that we don't get taken in, says the apostle, by the schemes of the devil. The devil is not only crafty and wily, he's a liar, quite simply. He's not honest. Jesus said there's no truth in him. But he does have the temptations that he puts in our way. To do what's wrong rather than to do what's right. To do what is against what we know God's will is for us, and to do what isn't what God's will is for us. And so he's called in the New Testament the tempter. The tempter. We see too not only that he's wily, we not only see that he's a liar, we not only see that he's a tempter, but we see that he's deceitful. The Bible says he can even transform himself into an angel of light. So he pretends to be what he's not. He's full of hypocrisy. You remember in the story of the seed that's sown by the sower, it's Satan in the parable who snatches away the seed of the gospel before it can be received. It's Satan is the one who into the lovely field that's growing sows the weeds so that everything is confused. He's deceitful. But we need to remember quite clearly the verse in the Bible that says the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. To destroy the devil's work. If we're on the Lord's side, we're on the winning side. What about his allies? Well, we read about them. The apostle said, it's not as if it's flesh and blood. It's not ordinary people that we're wrestling with. It's spiritual things, things we can't see, things you can't touch, things you can't put in a bottle and label, but they're just as real. And we read about them. Things in the heavenly realms, things we don't know about, things that are going on that we're not aware of. In a sense, it would be easier if we could say, oh, you know, that's the devil at work in that person. It doesn't work like that, although it can do. Satan can use human beings. For example, Judas Iscariot, it said that Satan entered into him before he betrayed the Lord. And so Satan can use human beings, but these are spiritual forces generally that we can't see or touch that are influencing people to do that which is not of God and to rebel against God. But what's his destiny? Well, as we've said, Satan is already a defeated enemy. The Lord Jesus has come. He's died. He's risen again. And there at the cross, he dealt with Satan and his allies. And one day, when God calls an end to the things of this world and the Lord Jesus returns, Satan and his allies will be confined to eternal punishment. You can read that in Revelation for yourself. Where was a crucial victory won? More often in a war, there's a battle that in retrospect, you see, has changed the course of things. You know, in North Africa campaign in World War II, it was El Alamein, wasn't it? In the Russian war, it was Stalingrad when the Germans lost. Perhaps in Western Europe, it was D-Day. These were the things that changed the course of the way things were going. And I'd like to suggest to you, it's the coming of the Lord Jesus into our world. And above all, his death on the cross that has dealt with Satan and has ensured his destiny. Again, the Lord Jesus has won the victory at the cross and in his resurrection. And there's a verse that says this, so that by Jesus' death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil. So Satan is beaten. He doesn't realize it. He's going to keep on going, but one day God will intervene and he will receive his just rewards. And for us today, we need to remember this. It might look like evil is winning, you know? The Christian church seems to be shrinking and shrinking in our countries, maybe growing in other places. It might seem that Satan is winning. We shouldn't be surprised at that. The Bible tells us that towards the end times, there's going to be a great rebellion against God. But God's triumph is sure and it's certain. So what can we say? There are spiritual forces of evil at work. We need to be aware of them. They've declared war on God. And if we are allied to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith in him, we may be under attack too. Now we might think, oh, well, that's really important for people like full-time mission workers or missionaries. They're in the front line. Yet they are. But just as in World War II, you know, those left at home are just as much under attack, and that's true of us. Now, we need to keep a balance about this. We mustn't ascribe everything that goes wrong to Satan. It isn't necessarily true, but we do need to be aware that he is against us, and we need to take on board the positive aspects of what we're going to talk about in a minute, of using the resources that God has provided to help us to fight him off. Ready for action, I've called it. Here's the first thing. Three activities I think we can do. Be strong. Verse 10, we've talked about this. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I think the AV has, be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. Now, we're not talking about physical strength here, all right? We're not talking about, oh, well, we should go to the gym and get our muscles going and slim down and, you know, be really fit and tough. The Roman soldier was physically tough. We're asked to be spiritually tough. And I've already quoted the verse from Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. We need to wait on the Lord. We need to look to him to provide our spiritual strength. We need to have that strength to go on resisting the devil. We need to have that strength to struggle on in our faith, even when things are difficult and we have our doubts. We need to go on standing for the Lord Jesus where we live and where we are. We need to go on living for God in our behavior and in our attitudes. And so when the devil comes to us and we have that temptation in our mind, oh, I wouldn't mind doing that. Why don't you do that? That would be really good for you. I know it's not what the Bible says, but you'd really like that. We've got to be strong. We've got to say no. We shouldn't be a pushover. We shouldn't be a weakling. God's power is at our disposal, and we should look to him as much as we can. Second thing, be steadfast. Be firm and don't yield. I think this summarizes what's meant by the word stand. We had it at least four times in our reading. Did you notice it? Verse 11, twice in verse 13, and also in verse 14. The soldier has to stand and face the enemy. He needs protection, and so he has the armor that we've been looking at in the video. Notice that the armor only protects the front, not the back. For the soldier to turn his back on the enemy is to run and to give in. We're asked to stand and face, not to give in, to be resilient, to be steadfast, to be unyielding under the devil's attack. He would seek to turn us from the Lord. The Lord wants us to go on living a holy and dedicated Christian life. He wants to prevent us from telling others. He wants to prevent us from reading our Bibles and praying. We've got to resist his pressure. We've got to stand against it. And we have a wonderful promise in the Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Let's quickly go through the armor. We won't spend too long on it. But the belt. We had the belt, didn't we? We saw it in the video. That holds everything in place. It keeps everything together. And the belt we're supposed to put on, it's not a literal belt, of course. It's a belt of truth. Truth. It's not just truthfulness as against telling lies. I think it's a belt of integrity. It's the belt of sincerity. That in our Christian lives, we are to be sincere. We are to have integrity in all that we do. There should be no hypocrisy about us. I think I've told you before, I went to see a presentation of someone who was selling us printers, and they were talking and saying, this is a WYSIWYG printer. WYSIWYG? It's an acronym. What you see is what you get. So that what you saw on the screen was what came out on the printer. And that's what we should be. Honest, upright, transparent, without hypocrisy. That if we say we're Christians, that's what we are. And that's what we are in our behavior and in our attitudes and the things that we do and the places that we go. That people, when they look at us, should see and should appreciate that we are genuine. The second thing that we read about was a breastplate. And we saw that, the lorica, I think it was called. The panels that cover the front of the chest, where the vital organs are. And this was a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness. Doing right, being right. You know, we can stand against the devil if we're sure that our intention is to do right. Now, let's be clear and remember that we're all righteous before God if we've trusted the Lord Jesus. We have peace with God. We're made right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ's death and the sacrifice he made there for us. And if we have received Christ and, as it were, made his sacrifice appropriate for us and personal to us, then no matter what Satan might say, we are righteous. We are right with God. Remember the lines of the hymn. When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there who made an end of all my sin. Satan might come and try and make us feel really, really guilty. And perhaps we should be really, really guilty at times if we've done wrong. But it's not going to keep us out of heaven. It shouldn't spoil our Christian lives, because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are righteous in our standing before God, but we have to live that out by living righteous lives before others, so that what we know to be sin, we'll avoid. What we know to be good, we'll activate in our lives. And if we have that good conscience, that helps us to stand before the devil. Then there were the shoes, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. It's a bit odd to speak about peace when we're speaking about a soldier, but perhaps the apostle had in mind here some verses from Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of those that bring good news, who proclaim peace and bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation. And so in our words, we should be ready to speak about the Lord. We should be willing to tell others about him. There should be that readiness about it. We should be prepared and we should share what we have with others. So we've got the belt, we've got the breastplate, we've got the shoes, and we've got the shield. And we saw that again in the video. Our first line of defense. The Roman shield could almost cover the whole person if he crouched down behind it. And as we've seen, it was covered in special layers on the wood, so that if there were any flaming arrows shot and they stuck in the shield, you know, the shield wouldn't catch fire. And Paul talks about that, extinguishing the flaming arrows of the devil. And that shield for us is faith, our trust in God, our trust in God. We're called upon to trust God no matter what. To trust that in God's goodness and wisdom, he knows best. And even though Satan can send us, even through others, arrows of unkind or hurtful words, if he can bring to us doubts or fears or disappointments or lead us into impurity, we need to go on trusting God who loves us, trusting in a Savior who died for us, as we were singing about. Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb, to Jesus who died and rose again. Then there's a helmet, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. That we are rescued from the penalty of our sin. We're rescued from judgment because we trust the Savior and we acknowledge all he's done for us. We're safe from that penalty that sin will bring, that wrongdoing will bring for us. But we're also saved from the power of sin as well. And one day, of course, we'll be taken from the presence of sin because Jesus will take us to be with himself. To know in our minds that we have this faith is a great help to us in standing against the devil. That we know that we're saved, that we know we're in the right place, and that nothing but nothing can move us from that place. The devil has no possibility, once we're saved, of snatching us away or of keeping us from heaven or of anything like that. He's got no power to do that. We have the Holy Spirit within. We're held in God's hands, says the scriptures. So we can rejoice in that. And then lastly, there's a sword, the word of God. For us, of course, this is our Bible. We have the example of the Lord who used it when he was tempted. You can imagine the soldier looking after his sword as a soldier would look after his rifle today. He doesn't leave the rifle on the shelf and then get it down next month when he's off to Iraq or Syria or Afghanistan, does he? He's cleaning it. He's polishing it. He's making sure it's in tip-top condition. He knows all about his rifle. He knows its balance. He's used to using it because he practices. How many of us are leaving our Bibles like a sword on the shelf? And we dig it out on a Sunday, but that's all it is. It shouldn't be like that, should it? We need to know our way around our Bibles. We need to read it every day. We need to try and understand what it's saying. We need to apply it to ourselves. It should be something that we can use to stand and can use against the devil, because we know what's in there and we know that this is God's handbook for me and it gives me that guide to living as it should be. God's armor is at our disposal. We need to put it on. We need to make the effort. We need to set out to be steadfast, to stand. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. The Christian life is not for wimps, but for heroes. And lastly, Paul said, just to finish off, be supportive. Prayer. Put all these different things on with prayer. And he says, pray for one another. Be supportive of one another. He says, be alert. Soldiers got to be alert, hasn't we? And always keep on praying for all the saints. And so we need to be alert for one another's situations. Don't let things slide past us, so that if we know the situation of our fellow believers, we're able to support them in our prayers. And Paul's prayer for himself wasn't that he would be released, but that he'd be able to preach the gospel. And he closes off with his last final greetings. He speaks about Tychicus, his friend, who's going to take the letter to the church at Ephesus. You know, if he hadn't done his job, we wouldn't have the letter today, would we? And there are lots of jobs that we can do that aren't in the front line, but they're just as important for keeping everything rolling along. And Paul signs off his letter with the four key words of the letter to the Ephesians. Did you notice them? Peace, love, faith, and grace. Let's put on the full armor of God and be prepared to stand against the devil's attacks. And I trust that as we've come to the end of this letter to the Ephesians, we found it really helpful. First part, about doctrine, the wonders of God's grace and what it's done for us. Second part, about practical Christian living. We keep the two in balance, and we trust that these characteristics of love and faith and grace and peace will be seen in our lives. Let's sing a hymn together before we finish. It's number 1213. I'm afraid it's not in your books. We've printed out some sheets, so if you'd like a sheet, then stick your hand up and Martin will just walk down and just let him have a sheet if you would like the words. Everybody all right? Okay. 1213, and this is all about putting your armor on. So it's continuing the theme that we've got. Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ, our captain. Again, we'll stand and we'll hear this song together.